This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2022, held at Horizon Mennonite School in Hagerstown, Maryland, on March 4 and 5.
Thank you, Brother Victor. Before I get started here, I would like to show you as board members something you could maybe avail yourselves to before I begin, and that is the DOC. So the DOC for Learning, you keep hearing about that. In case you thought it was only for teachers, I thought I'd show you this. If you come up here to Philosophy and Leadership, you see School Administration, School Board, School Culture, School Library, and so you can click on School Board, and there would be Classroom Observation Checklist, Classroom Visits, Passing the Baton, How to Transition Administrators, Deal with Dysfunctional Homes, What Teachers Do, Boards Can Do, Ready to Meet, How to Present an Attendee, How to Fill Your Order to Next Meeting, Preparing for School Leadership Transition, Why Meet, How Effective Meetings Can Build School Culture, Productive Board Meetings, Your Husband's Moon in the Gates. There's 9 pages just for school boards, both checklists, documents, as well as some short video clips, things like this. I just want to make sure that you knew that and are thinking about how you might be helped. I'll leave that now. So on behalf of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, we want to take a moment here to thank the CASB Committee for their very, very hard work. Our job as the Education Committee is to provide some oversight and make sure that people are paid and things are happening here that need to happen. And the CASB Committee has done a tremendous job. We say thank you. Thank you so much for your really hard work. Now, Randall Yoder's been the chair for several years here. His term has ended, and Anthony Hurst will take chairmanship for this coming year. Also want to say to the Hagerstown community here, wow, thank you. We have been truly hosted, and I think we all felt all the details that were just done so well. We just appreciate the way you have hosted us so well. Thank you so much. And then to all of you board members, as someone who's in the classroom every day, it means a lot to know there are people in leadership on school boards who will take time off to do important work like this. And so if you want to encourage and influence your school culture, maybe you should continue coming to these. That might be, maybe I'll just sit down. That would be adequate. But it does mean a lot. It does more than you think it does. And so I just want to say thanks. The next one is, it's always the first Saturday of March and the preceding Friday. So that's how you can know when this is. And yet, here to all you presenters, thank you for your hard work and preparation. We really do appreciate that. It takes all of us, doesn't it? Psalm 145, 4-7 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your wonder, of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." One generation shall praise your works to another. Sounds to me like a Christian school. Sounds to me like what we ought to be doing. And I want to just affirm in our minds that schools are the great opportunity of our churches. Schools that serve the church are a gift to congregational church life. It is the great opportunity of our age, and we are really realizing this more and more. And when I started 27 years ago, I guess, in the classroom, I will tell you, a lot has changed in those years. In fact, I don't even get asked when I'm going to get a real job. I consider that a real gift. And we can all chuckle. It's okay. I'm past that. I figured out that it's okay. You just have to live with some of that. But there's been a shift in our thinking, and I'll just say this maybe at the outset, that I don't want us to over-center then and make education the highest priority, the highest thing. What we should be doing is prioritizing the training, developing, shaping, and formation of young people that can grow up to love Jesus with their heart, soul, mind, and strength and serve him out of that in the local body of believers. That's the vision for Christian schools. I want to remind us that the training, shaping, developing of young people never happens in a vacuum. There's stuff around school. There's a context for everything that takes place in the school, and there's a context for everything that doesn't take place in the school. There's a reason for things and a reason not for things. The warp and the woof of one school day rolling into the next adds up. It adds up. Every one of our schools has a context, a framework upon which what happens in school is built upon. So first, I want to just briefly remind us of what school culture is. And every one of your schools have one of these. You have a school culture. You may not have thought about it much, but you have one. And if you want some exciting work to do, you ought to try to formulate a 5-page document on trying to describe your school culture. It will push you around. It's hard work. Because it's as Diehl and Peterson say, it's beneath the surface of everyday life. In schools is a underground river of feelings and folkways, norms, values that influence how young people go about their daily work. This taken for granted set of expectations affects how people think, feel, and act. It shapes how they interpret the hundreds of daily interactions of their lives and provides meaning and purpose in their interactions, their activities, and their work, unquote. Culture is the way we do things around here. It's the social glue that holds us together. It's the activity behind the scenes or between the lines. It's what's really going on. It's the patterns of behavior that distinguish us from them. It's the unwritten rules. It's the default mode of behavior. It's our collective consciousness. It's shared social reflexes. It's the box we try to think outside of. That's our culture in our school. It's the unique personality of your school. It's how we solve problems. It's how we cope with tragedies. It's how we celebrate successes. It influences, culture influences and shapes the way teachers, students, principals, school boards even think, feel, and act. And I want to say that the context in which your children are in school, the context in which they are learning math, reading, history, literature, music, art, that context has a direct bearing and impact on students and who they become. So our schools have a job. The job is to teach children to love God and serve him. And then out of that love, to love people, their neighbors, serve them. And the subjects, what we are to do in school, helps us get there. But remember, the subjects aren't ever taught in a vacuum. There's more going on than meets the eye. The culture has a lot to do with what actually is experienced, with whether I think it's safe to raise my hand and answer a question wrong, of whether it's stuff outside of our control sometimes. It's what happened at home. This all comes to bear on the learning process. Remember, school doesn't happen in a vacuum. The old saying is that more is caught than taught. And if that's true, we probably have some work to do. So how can we practically influence? You've heard so many good things. You've some things you haven't agreed with, I'm pretty sure. That's the way these things work. We're gonna think about things, and then we're gonna say, that doesn't work for me. That might work there, but it's not gonna work for us. And we've been having to process and think through, and that's a good thing to do. But how can we practically influence our school culture? So to you as board members, particularly this morning, I have two things to offer you as you return home. And those two things are, I'm suggesting if you want to influence your school culture, be a good steward of the function of the board, and secondly, pay attention to the people. Now we're going to get practical. I'd go so far as to say that school boards have the opportunity to create vibrant infrastructure. We think of infrastructure often as being sort of dead. It's sort of the skeleton. You got to have it so you can hang the muscles and the tendons and everything else on it so that things work. But infrastructure is really, really important. And it has to do with the way the board operates. Now, as I listen to school board members, and I listen to teachers, and I listen to principals, I've become increasingly aware that the way the board functions within itself, with the people in the school, actually has a lot to do with the direction of the school, and it impacts very directly how the school functions, and thereby creating the culture. So I think you as board members often underestimate the work that you do because you don't always see the reach of your work, of your discussions, your decisions, and your relationships. You're not in the classroom all the time. You're making it possible for me to be in the classroom, but you're not in the classroom. And so sometimes you feel like your work is somehow disconnected from the way things are at school, and I submit to you that's wrong thinking. It matters. And so, can I just give several words of encouragement here for you as boards? And I'm going to say a few things here that are incredibly practical that I want you to think about. Again, you may not agree with me, or your setting may not be able, you may not be able to do this. I understand all that, but I'm going to offer you just several things quickly. First of all, term lengths. I want to encourage 4 to 5 years for a term. Can I just do that? 4 to 5 years, eligible for re-election at least once. Take a year off. We need longer-term board members than what we currently often have. What I have heard directly from board members is, well, the first year, I didn't know what I was doing. And the second year, I finally kind of figured out what my job might be. And the third year, I was finally enjoying it, and then I got off the board. What a shame. Part of it is we need some institutional memory in our schools. My father-in-law has been on school boards, and he's here today for forever. One of these patriarchs on the school board. And what I heard his board chairman say is he values the gray hair on the board. Because it's institutional memory. Well, you know, we talked about this once before, and here were the issues. Well, that makes sense. Well, so how is that different now? And then we make decisions. And so the decisions that are made do directly influence the culture. But term lengths actually matter. Secondly, rotating chairmanship by simply taking turns. Can I just please suggest we stop doing that? Well, Elmer, you said amen. That was Elmer Glick, who's been in the classroom forever, on boards forever. Here's what happens. Not all of us are gifted the same way. And you can have a wonderful board member who's so good with the finance side or taking minutes, but doesn't really enjoy and do well with the chairmanship. When you just take turns, it doesn't always work out really well. I'm speaking very boldly and plainly. You need to spit out what doesn't apply. Part of it is that we need a chairman who's well-suited for the job and passionate for the school. A man who can follow through on decisions. That's just not everybody's cup of tea, you might say. Thirdly, needs to be a regular review of policies. Policies that are out of date but are on the books are damaging. Students start to make fun of things that aren't current. That's damaging to your school culture. It's written in some archaic language from the 15 or 1800s, you know, or something. And it doesn't work well. Current policies. It allows for drifting along without purpose because we haven't evaluated who we are right now. Does it fit our church's vision, who we are? Fourthly, we need regular meetings, yes, every month. Okay? 12 meetings in a year to actually run an organization is not very many meetings for once a month. And I hear of too many school boards that meet when it's necessary. You know how many times you really feel like it's necessary? If you don't have rhythm for that, it's not often enough. If you want to work and practically influence the culture of your school, you should meet every month. And I'm going to really stick my neck out here, and I'm going to say this, and I'm sorry already, okay? But can I say it? I understand the issues, I think. I get to talk to a lot of principals, and I love it. But I just want to say something here. I wish the principals of our school, lead teachers, could be a part of 90% of the board discussions. I'm sorry, but I still believe it. I'm going to go ahead and talk about it just a bit. The person that works out the will of the board, the person that is with students all day long, the person who's making decisions on the ground every day is that principal. Last month, I was talking to a principal. He's a real guy. He's a man, okay? And he's in his 40s. He's been a principal for a long time. He told me, he said, when we go to board meeting, my teachers come in to give a report to the board from their classrooms, and I give a report on the board, on my classroom to the board, and then the teachers go, and I stay and give a principal's report, and then they meet. I said, well, so they meet an hour and a half without you or whatever? Yeah, hour and a half, 2 hours, they meet. I said, well, do you find out what they say? Not usually. I said, well, what did they talk about? He doesn't really know always. I said, well, do you get any minutes? No. Well, they come and tell me that this is what they decided. I said, well, do you know how they got to their decision? No. Now, if you really want to make a difference, have that principal understand how you got to your decision. Have them understand all the stuff that's going on. And it's okay. They're there to work out the will of the board. And if they're a part of that, they don't make decisions. Principal doesn't make the decision, board does, but he is better equipped to work out the will of the board. If you want to influence your school culture, make sure your principal is with you when you discuss these things. If they're not trusted, then they shouldn't be in there anyway. Sixth, clarity in job descriptions for each member of the board, each role of the board, as well as the principal. Many of the relational tensions that are going on in our schools have to do with unclear expectations. I'm not sure who's supposed to go ahead here. I'm not sure who's supposed to do that. And if I go ahead and start doing that, it might be seen as me being power hungry, so I'm not going to do it. And then the board member says, but I thought you were supposed to do that. It says you're supposed to take responsibility for events. Well, but this is the parent-teacher event, and the board has always done this. Well, but you should have been getting the speech. Well, but... And there's tension, there's problems. That will always be felt at the school level. It will affect your school culture. Because now we're running by the seat of our pants and calling frantically for help to come to the parent-teacher meeting. And we're trying to figure out what to do. And we haven't even clarified who's supposed to open the meeting until 5 minutes before. Are you starting it? Or no? I thought, who's in charge? Clarity. Clarity in expectations, it will have a direct impact on your school culture. I keep watching. I think I can say that with some assurance. And just lastly, this is free of charge. Address issues before they take a life of their own. I find a lot of boards don't like making final decisions. It's kind of like, well, wait and see. Time heals everything. And if only that were true. Instead, time seems to magnify the problems. And now we have a real full-blown issue. And when you get wind of things that should be taken care of, go ahead and address them to the best of your ability. Do not let little become big. Big is a lot harder to deal with than little. And big affects culture bigger than little affects culture. When school boards are highly functioning and things are working well, everyone benefits. School culture benefits, that means the students benefit, that means your teachers benefit. It's a beautiful thing when boards are working well. Boards matter. Second of all, I'm running out of time. My wife was very afraid of this. She must know me. Teachers. Second thing, how can you practically influence your school culture? It's through the teachers that you hire. Maybe the best way you can influence school culture is through the staff you hire. First of all, just thinking about long-term teachers, I recognize we don't like rotating teachers out every year. I've already heard school members say, well, it's nice to have fresh blood. Well, that gets pretty fresh. Just rotating teachers out is not helpful. Okay. And so, but what steps are you taking to break that cycle? What are you actually doing so that they kind of want to hang around? I'm not going to go into this because we've been hearing some things about that this weekend. But boards have a direct practical influence on school culture through the teachers they hire. And you want long-term teachers. Now, let's talk about hiring teachers. Does it matter who we place in front of our students? Well, of course. But when you're 2 weeks before school starts, does it still matter? You see, is it enough to be a living, breathing, moving human being? I think it's interesting that when we hire people in our businesses, we work hard at getting them up to speed. We train them. When I was in the dairy business, I worked for a neighbor. I would go to DHIA meetings, Dairy Herd Improvement Association meetings. I'd go to those meetings. I went to combine mechanic meetings, and I did all kinds of training to work on animals and to work on machinery. And when it comes to our children, forgive me, if you're 18 years old, fresh-faced and willing, you should teach for us. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying, are you sure? And if you do, which I'm fine with, are you walking alongside them? Are they going to the DHIA meetings and the combine mechanic meetings? Are they? Are you finding ways to grow them? It's not fair to an 18 or 19-year-old teacher to be placed in front of a group of 6, 8, 10 students, and we close the door and say, we're so glad you're a teacher. Good job. Keep it up. And we wonder why they quit. People in your school are the backbone of it. Who are they? Do they love God? Do they love the church? Do they engage in church life? Do they attend church regularly? Do they know how to work with people? These are qualities we're looking for. It's not just about, do you know enough to teach? It's who are you? Because who you are will impact school culture directly. And so, no, we don't just go for someone who's willing. Rather, we look for the godly, competent, skilled teachers. And if they're not available, we have a vision for developing those people into that. But we don't close the door and say, we're glad you're in your silo. You hang in there all year long. We got your back if we find out what's going on, at least. The lifestyle that a teacher exemplifies and lives will affect your school culture. Remember that the people you put into the classroom are with students, children, 6 hours a day. I got to thinking for 26 years in the classroom, and I'm thinking, so that's about 1,100 hours a year. I have spent 28,600 hours in front of children. I quail at the thought. God have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I don't consider myself a great teacher at all. I see myself as constantly just fighting to be adequate, is what it feels like. But I recognize I probably have some influence, don't I? I can't have that many hours in front of children, not influence them. I know of a minister who said, you have more influence on my congregation than I do. You've got more hours in front of the children of my church than I do. People have the greatest potential for moving the needle of the culture. That means sometimes when a teacher isn't working out, we're okay letting them go. We find another thing they can flourish in. And these are hard decisions. Listen. And sometimes it's not real clear, but what are the vibes? What's being communicated? And if the person in your classroom is not offering an example that you want your children to be exactly like that teacher, they shouldn't be in front of your students. A little grain of salt, because I don't want all students to become like me. I get it. But you know what I'm saying? It's critical. If you want to move the needle of school culture, we need to have the kind of people who model what we're looking for. Growing. People, teachers want to grow. They want to get better. They want discipleship. If teachers are to be disciples of students, they must first be discipled. If they don't want to be discipled, they shouldn't be in the classroom. It's that important. Teachers ask students to learn all the time. And teachers who quit wanting to learn need to find other employment. So school boards can help. Get them to places where they can develop their skills. Give them books to read. Think about ways that they can grow. Build a relationship with those teachers. Evaluate them. Support them emotionally, financially, etc. Invest in those teachers. Value them by hearing them. Visit school. Let teachers know we care about what's going on. Remember who we want our students to become. We must first be and be becoming. So, as school boards, I'm just pleading with you. Put in front of the children of your church the people you want them to become. Who do you want them to model their life after? And I've learned that when you have long-term growing teachers who love Jesus and are constantly trying to get better at what they do, to understand students more, something happens in the culture. When our schools aren't a rotating door, where I teach for a year, maybe 2 years, now I've done my service, thanks be to God, and I'll move on with my life and now make real money or get a real job. Folks, you can't grow school culture. That context in which our children learn, you sabotage it from the beginning. Thank you, brothers, for serving on school boards. Thank you, board members' wives, for letting your husbands do this important work. As a principal, we need school board members and their wives to participate in this incredible opportunity to raise up a generation who knows Jesus and serves him and loves him. And the school is this remarkable place where the context in which they learn how to add and subtract and read and write, where the context is a living environment of a culture that reverberates with the splendor and the awe of who God is and what he wants for his people in his kingdom right now, today. As you function together, as you hire the right people, I believe that you will influence school culture. And I remind you that school culture is always going one way or the other. God bless you.